Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. It's a wonderful, beautiful Sunday morning in New York. I'm Sam.
I'm Braden.
And we are here to continue this morning looking at, you know, the deceit. And the devil is prowling around. Do you know how? In part one, we looked at the parable of the sows, or the seed and the sower. And the soil and the condition. In this one, we're going to continue and we're going to look at the aspect of, do we all really understand when we start, before we come to God, what God says of us, to make sure we understand that condition? Because the devil wants you to be deceived and think that you can come out of, that you can have fellowship with God and yet still have some of that conditions, the old man. And that's one of the lies and deceptions. And one of the things I want to do is cover that, to make sure that no one is being deceived in that manner, because then you're in trouble. Then you never actually came and received the Spirit of God. But we need to look at the Word of God. And even though people believed, Jesus said they were still sons of the devil, that their father was the devil. It's a scary thing. So let's go ahead and we'll open up in prayer. And we'll get started. Father, I thank you for your word, that we can go to it. It's so good. It instructs us in your way and your truth. Father, I pray that as we go through your word, we'll understand of what you say is true. Who are those who are truly of God, and who are those who are not? And how we know. Father, it's your word that speaks truth into our life and convicts us. It's your word that causes us to humble ourselves and agree and confess and acknowledge with what you say is true, not only about your word and truth, but about ourselves. For in the eyes of man, many of his ways seem right. But until he comes in humility, and we have your thoughts and your understanding, it's very easy to be deceived and find ourselves opposed to you while thinking we serve you. Father, convicting God of the word that you want spoken today, to edify, O God, your creation, to set them free. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And some of you who have listened to me before, you've heard this. I've brought it up in other podcasts. But I think for this podcast today, it's important to start with this, because it's exposing the deception that's out there in the churches today. Just because you believe doesn't mean anything. There are many that came to believe in Jesus. In John chapter 8, verse 30 to 32, what did Jesus say to many of those who had come to believe in him?
As he spoke these words, many believed in him. And then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
There you go. So even though these people believed in him, Jesus gives them a conditional if. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. He didn't say they were currently continuing or currently abiding. He says, if you continue in my word. We find out later, as he says, that they cannot hear the words of God, that they don't accept the words of truth. But yet they believed in Jesus. In their minds, they believed in Jesus, but God wouldn't have agreed with them. As Jesus points out, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Even though they were believing and following, not all these people were true disciples. And he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And you see, these people didn't understand what those words meant. You who are listening, do you understand what that means? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Think about your definition of that, what you think it means. We'll find out if you understand what Jesus says it means. Because if you don't, you're no different than these people who had believed. But they didn't know the truth and couldn't accept it. Because they didn't have understanding from God, but from the world. So how did they answer? Did they understand what it meant to be free, Braden?
No, they didn't. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?"
They didn't know what freedom Jesus was talking about. What was the freedom Jesus was talking about in verse 34?
And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever."
That's right. Everyone who's listening, if you still struggle and commit sin, well, then you're still a slave of sin. You aren't free. You aren't going to get to remain in the house. You haven't come to the truth, the true knowledge of God. You still have the understanding of the world. You have the understanding of what the devil wants you to understand, that he has infiltrated the false churches, like what we covered in the part one of the episode. When you don't understand, the devil steals the word out of your heart. So he says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain. If the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. These people had not yet been freed, but they believed, they were following. So then Jesus says something almost shocking to these people who were following him and who believed. Not just shocking, Braden, he makes an accusation against them that they don't understand because they don't understand how God sees them. What is the accusation in verse 37?
"I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you."
Now look at that. He just said, if you continue in my word, you'll be free. And you'll be disciples of mine. Now he's telling them, one, my word has no place in you who believed in me, who are following me. Two, you seek to kill me. But they believe they were following. Now most people I say today, you know, as I've had different conversations with God, and God says, yes, that person hates my son. And yet, the person that God and I were speaking about was somebody who confesses Jesus as their Lord. They would argue to their death, saying that, oh, no, I love Jesus. But you cannot love Jesus with the love that God has when you haven't yet been perfected and love has not yet been perfected in you. It doesn't matter what man thinks. People will say they have fellowship with God. God will say, you're a liar. The truth is not in you. We covered that in the previous episode. People will say, but I am in the light. God will say, you're a liar. You're in darkness. You walk in darkness. You're blinded. Darkness has blinded your eyes. You don't even know where you're going. People will say, but I have come to know him. God will say, you can't keep my commandments. You're a liar. Again, the truth is not in you. Some of these quotations are from 1 John chapter 2. So here he tells them, my word has no place in you. You who are listening, would God say that to you? How do you know? How can you be so confident? These people were shocked when Jesus said this to him. Did you understand what it means to be set free? Do you still commit sin? Or are you going to stumble over those words and try to argue with them? Well, then I can assure you, Jesus would accuse you of the same words that he accused those who believed. But he wasn't done. He then tells them who their father is. Not his father, but their father. What does he say in verse 41 to 44?
"You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Jesus said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it.
That's right. He's a liar and the father of it. Several things that Jesus says. One, he says, you can't love me. He says, you don't understand what I'm saying. That's why you can't hear my word, my sayings. He says they're still of their father, the devil, and want to do their desires of their father because there is no truth in him. And people get confused. They're like, but I do believe in truth. I do read my word. Just like the devil. You see, the devil had the word of God, but yet he's accused of having no truth in him. Because when you take the truth and you distort it with a lie, that's a lie. There is no truth. All those who are believing, I don't care how much of the Bible you believe in, you start mixing it with a lie, God is going to accuse you of being no different than the devil. Just as these people who had believed in Christ were accused. If these things don't make sense to you, it's because you lack understanding. You need to humble yourself and ask God. Stop thinking and pretending in the eyes of God that you're a Christian. If you don't humble yourself and you don't come to clear understanding, you're going to be destroyed along with these people. This is a warning, but it's also an appeal. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants and desires your salvation, but you cannot have it unless you come in the truth. Do you see how serious this conversation is? These people didn't understand. They did not understand. Just like many people today don't understand. So that was John chapter 8. That's what I wanted to start it with. Now I want to go over to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are all born into the world a certain way. And this is a historical present rendering. He starts off referring to how they were living presently, but yet in a past vantage point. So in chapter 2, verse 1, the rendering is, And when you were being dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked. So he's referring to a people that in their old life, when they walked in sin, they were being dead. But that was an old life. That was a former life, how they walked. That's not the life that they live today. You see, the life that they previously lived, when they were dead, but yet sin was still alive in them. He says they walked according to what in verse 2?
In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience.
And that's the devil. The devil is the current prince of this world, the realm here on earth, until it's taken back by Christ. They were living according to the spirit of the devil, not of God. They were called the son of disobedience, not a son of God. No different than the other people we just read in John chapter 8. They were accused still being of their father, the devil, sons of the devil. No different. Sons of the devil can read the word of God. They can quote scripture. They can seek after God and pursue, but yet never find. Never be freed from sin. Sin's not being former, but they still are. They can go and they can help feed the poor. They can do good. They can have agape love for those around them. As Jesus said, but they can't have a perfect love because they still sin. In verse 3, Paul writing, does he say that that's how they still live, or was a past tense how they once used to live?
among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others.
Children of wrath. It doesn't matter when you're still stuck in the desires of the flesh. You are a child of wrath. Do not try to twist God's word. Do not try to justify, or you will never come to the knowledge of the truth. You cannot be freed from something which you think you are not held captive to. You cannot be freed by something by which you think you're already a son of God, who in God's eyes has already been freed. God has no work he can do in you when you continue to claim that you're his child. You blaspheme his word. God wants to free you. He talks about how once you have been freed, you no longer live that way, as he said. But until you come to that point, in chapter 4:13 or 4:12, until you come to the point to be added to the body of Christ, you have to attain to three things to be added to the body of Christ. As God gives different gifts through his son Jesus for the equipping, to build up, to add souls to the body of Christ. Verse 13, three things that must happen to be added to the body of Christ.
Till we all come to the unity of the faith and one of the faith. Knowledge of the Son of God.
Yeah, just read them and just pause. So one faith. Not of what the devil preaches, not of what false churches preach, but the faith of what God says, the true knowledge. One faith. And?
Of the knowledge of the Son of God.
The knowledge of the Son of God, which is united in that one faith. Not the knowledge of the world, not the knowledge that the devil seeks to deceive. And the third?
To a perfect man.
To the perfect man. And how is that defined?
To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
If you cannot claim that you have the same fullness of God dwelling in you that Christ, to his stature, and then it tells us how that person walks and lives, then you've been deceived. You have not been added to the body of Christ. Your love has not been perfected because you cannot love as God says what love is. We did an episode on that. Love, the greatest commandment, four parts, as God defines it, not as the devil, not as the world. I've never heard a church in my life define it the truth, but always how the devil defines it. You who are listening, you must know these things. Search them out. Seek it. Your life depends on it. As a result, in verse 14, he says, as a result, we're no longer to be these infants. Who are infants? Those that are tossed. Tossed by what? In verse 14.
Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting.
By waves and the different winds of doctrine. You see, this is how the devil works. It is his desire to not only sow or steal the true words of God, but to sow false words of God, using scripture, but adding or subtracting, hiding. So that you cannot come to the truth. So that you cannot come to sonship, that perfect man. Being filled with all the fullness of God is discussed in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. He wants you to still be trapped like the rest of the world. But God doesn't want you to be that way. That must be a past life. What does verse 17 and 18 say?
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart.
Blindness of their heart, because they are not seeing, because they are ignorant, they're excluded. Alienated from the life of God because they don't have the true understanding. All this deception that's being tossed, the waves and the wind, keeps them as infant and not coming into sonship, adopted with the Spirit of God and power. So he challenges some of the people. Verse 20 says, you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him, have you truly heard Christ? If indeed you have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Christ, is the truth in you as it was in Christ? What is that truth? What is it to be? Not just some knowledge, but a transformation. What is that transformation in verse 22?
That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts.
Are you still struggling with that old man, the deceits or the desires of the old man? How can you say you've learned Christ just as the truth is in him? How can you say that you have put it on? Please, please, the devil wants to lie to you. Don't lie to yourself. Let the word of God rip and tear down those lies. What are we to put on? Verse 23 and 24.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
True righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness. That's what God wants. That's what he wants. So he goes on. No longer speak falsehood. The devil speaks falsehood. The devil quotes the word of God, but not in full truth. No longer do that. You can be angry, but you cannot sin. There's only one anger that allows you to do that. That's the anger of God, not the anger of man. If you have the anger of man, you still need to receive the word implanted, which can save your soul. That's in James chapter 1, verse 19 to 22. You're to give the devil no opportunity. You're to no longer steal. You're to have no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. You're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. You're to have no bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice, none. No. But in chapter 5, verse 1, you're to be what?
Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children.
And how are we to walk?
Walk in love. As Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
We are to walk the same way. But it goes back to those sins of ignorance and the foolishness that you once had in your life. If you think that you came to Christ, but yet you still have some of those same sins that you lived in before when you were a son of disobedience... Oh, please, please, don't be deceived with empty words. What does chapter 5, verse 6 say?
Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience.
Gets back to you were a child of wrath before you came to God. How can you say you're no longer a child of wrath if you still do any of the same things? Please, let no one deceive you. The wrath of God will come upon sons of disobedience. You cannot say you're obedient son when you still do works of the devil. You cannot say you've been freed when you still have sin in your life and you want to overcome and you cannot. It is a power issue. It is a truth issue. For you, if you're still in that struggle, God has a message for you. What does he say in verse 14?
Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.
You have to wake up. You have to wake up from the dead. You still need to come into light. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. You cannot do that till you receive the word of God and the Spirit of God, the new heart. You must make the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The next passage I want to cover is 2 Timothy. Those who are still deceived. They think they have peace with God, but they do not. It's a great deception of the devil. That's why we're starting with this first. Those who haven't even escaped the first lie. See, God's desire is that people come to the truth. They escape the snare of the devil. What does he say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26?
And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
You see, until you have true repentance and you come to the knowledge of the truth, you cannot escape the snare of the devil. I don't care how hard you try. You will continue to be held captive to do the devil's will. You may sit there and try to exercise outward self-control and discipline, but you'll still have anger of man in your heart. You'll still have lust and desire for things of the world in your heart. You'll still have bitterness, jealousy. You'll have worry and anxiety. You will not be able to escape those things. Do not be deceived. You are still being held captive to do the devil's will. You have not yet come to the knowledge of the truth. Only the knowledge of the truth and what God says is true can set you free. The first thing it will do is convict and expose you as a sinner, condemned to hell. You haven't been changed. God does not grant sinners entrance into the kingdom of heaven. He grants sinners escape from sin to be transformed into the new creation that we just read. The new heart and the new spirit, so that you can live and walk as Christ did. So then, the righteous are the ones that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do not believe a half-truth and the half-lies that the devil is proclaiming. Your eternity depends on it. God's word is clear. Listen, if you have questions, because I know the devil is very crafty, he will use the leaders and the people around you to say, oh no, don't listen to him. Oh no, look at this passage here. Please, write me your questions. Write me your questions. I will answer them. I'll do podcasts on them. Other people need to hear. What people don't understand is the firm foundation of God. Earlier in chapter 2, verse 19, what is the firm foundation of God?
Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Have you departed from all iniquity? Are you able to depart from all iniquity? Do you name the name of the Lord, but yet you cannot depart from all iniquity? You still struggle and confess your sin. You continue to have sinful thoughts that you cannot rid them of because they're the sin that dwells in your corrupt, deceitful heart that has not been changed by God. Then you call God a liar if you don't repent and confess that you're still his enemy. You don't have the firm foundation of God. Danger. You know, in Matthew chapter 23, again, Jesus was very blunt with who these people were. Even though they were seeking to serve the one true God, it doesn't matter if you don't come in the true knowledge. Now, back in the time, the people didn't really know Christ. Today, people say they know Christ, but they don't fully understand his teachings. Deception is deception. God's going to treat both the same way. In Matthew 23, even though these people thought they were serving God and seeking to do good, he didn't have kind words for them. What did he say in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, as they went and tried to create, you know, more followers?
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves.
And that's no different than all these false Christians and churches today. That is what Jesus has to say. There is no difference. There is no difference. Peter rightly spoke, or Christ rightly spoke when he rebuked Peter, This is before the disciples had the Holy Spirit. If you want to know more about that, listen to the episode we did. Don't be like the disciples before they had the Holy Spirit. But, Jesus in, we'll go to Mark chapter 8. And he had to rebuke Peter. Peter didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in him yet. God was working around. But they did not yet have power inside of them. So Peter, because his mind, right, wasn't on God, even though he seemed to be speaking the right thing. Can you go ahead and read in Jesus in verse 31, Mark chapter 8, verse 31 to 33.
And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.
And see, what people didn't understand at the time, again, before the disciples received the Holy Spirit, Peter didn't fully understand the truth. He didn't understand the true gospel message and the hope and the light to all the Gentiles and the power of God and everything that was supposed to happen. That's why Jesus was like, may it never be. And when you read other accounts, he says, I'm not going to let you go die, Jesus. But yet Jesus had to die to allow entrance of all Gentiles into the same faith of Abraham and the promise that the Jews already had. Even though the Jews had the treasure, they didn't fully understand it. Again, if you don't have the true understanding of God, you can even be possessors of the treasure, but yet not benefit from it. Here, Peter still didn't understand. If Peter had his way, he would have prevented Christ from going to the cross. Because he yet didn't have the Spirit of God in him. Just as Jesus had to say, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll remind you and teach you of the things that they didn't have understanding on. So Jesus was very blunt. Until you come to God, until you get his understanding, get behind me, Satan. You are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. People, you must understand the dangers here. Even the disciples, they struggled. The devil continued to sow thoughts of the world that seemed good and righteous. Is it not good to help prevent somebody from going to death? Peter thought he was doing a good thing. The devil was probably smiling, going, oh good, I tricked Peter to say these things. Are you being tricked by the devil? Do you really understand the ways of God? Do you understand how crafty the devil is? Now the key is, I'll just read this. I love this when Jesus says this. Verse 34 to 38. Go ahead and read that, Braden.
When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Everyone who's listening, it's ashamed of the words that Jesus spoke and how he spoke it and what it meant. There's many people who aren't ashamed in what they believe. I used to not be ashamed in what I believed, but I was unashamed of the words that were spoken of the devil and half-truth. I didn't even have the full words of God to be ashamed of. I couldn't even come into that. And that's another trick of the devil. Oh, he'll get you not to be unashamed. He'll get you to be unashamed in the word of what you think you believe in. The problem is, that's not the full truth. So guess what? This doesn't apply to you. Jesus is still going to be ashamed of you because you didn't even have enough sense to come in to accept his knowledge and to support his knowledge of the truth. You are pushing and perpetuating and being unashamed of the knowledge of the devil and what the devil preaches. With that, I want to read Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, chapter 2, one of the churches, and then we'll end. To the church of Smyrna. Some people who are listening today have come to the knowledge of the truth. They've received a new heart and a new spirit. They've been set free and are living in power. To others, they're still trapped in the lie. One is the true church. One is a synagogue of Satan. People who claim to be worshipers of God, but God will accuse them of being of their father, the devil, just as what we started. Read the message to Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to 11.
And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death."
Father, we thank you for your word. I pray today that you will be convicting people. They need to discern and understand. Are they truly of the Church of Christ? Or are they of the church or the synagogue of Satan? If they do not get that question right, they are in danger of not overcoming. And those that do not overcome, they will be hurt and destroyed by the second death. Father, be glorified and let your truth be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.